Police in Pakistan are on high alert in advance of tomorrow's expected verdict in the Daniel Pearl trial. Four Islamic militants are charged with kidnapping and killing the former Wall Street Journal reporter. The prosecution is asking for the death penalty. Whatever the outcome of the judge's decision, Danny Pearl's family has been vigorous in its efforts to leave behind a legacy for Pearl that speaks to the positives of his life. An adventurous man with an insatiable curiosity about the world and others, the Wall Street Journal has just published a book of his stories called At Home in the World. The Daniel Pearl Foundation is dedicated to promoting cross-cultural understanding. Michelle Pearl is a vice president of the Daniel Pearl Foundation, and she joins us now. Michelle, tell me a little bit about this foundation. You created it as a testament to your brother's life. What is its purpose?
The mission of the foundation is to promote cross-cultural understanding through journalism, music, and innovative communications. And this was our compilation of the essence of what Danny was trying to do with his life. And our idea is to continue his legacy and also to try and address some of the factors that led to his death.
Have you been able to get any projects off the ground yet?
One of our first project ideas is to create a cross-cultural recording of a song that Danny wrote with some of his friends. And this would involve musical talents from around the world, from different cultures.
There's a new book out called At Home in the World, which was published by your brother's employer, The Wall Street Journal, in which his writings for the newspaper over a dozen years are collected. They're funny, they're beautifully absurd, they seem to really attest to the strength of his talent. What are some of your favorite stories in this collection?
Yes, one of my favorite stories is a very personal piece about his visit to Kosovo in search of signs of ethnic harmony. And in that story, he had gone to numerous places, looking for jazz bands or soccer teams that had ethnic integration where Serbs and Albanians were cooperating, and to no avail.
He also clearly had a tremendous sense of humor, and I like some of those stories very much in this collection, including Looming Large. This Persian rug should set a record. Less certain is who will buy a carpet that is so big it needs a soccer stadium. I actually remember reading that piece when it came out,
yes.
And it's hysterical, as is the one about surgically removing sturgeon's eggs for caviar and then sewing them back up again.
That was originally submitted in verse, and unfortunately the only remaining copy of it seems to have been lost with the World Trade Center.
But you have at least the prose version here. Can we read a bit of that?
Be aware that patient comfort isn't necessarily a big part of sturgeon surgery. Be warned that knowledge of ichthyological gynecology doesn't necessarily enhance the pleasure of eating caviar. Now behold the caviar of the future. Two competing Russian groups say they have figured out how to make caviar without killing the fish. In both cases, the sturgeon gets a hormone injection to make it ovulate and a sort of cesarean section to remove the eggs. Both groups claim to have a secret method to give the eggs the consistency of normal caviar. The fish returns to the water and eventually spawns again.
Now that you've seen the breadth of his work in a new light, what observations do you have about the compassion that he evinced for people? It seems as if he was trying to look for bright spots, to challenge conventional wisdom.
Yes, that was his hope. And I think his tendency to, as it says in the book, poison the well or to go against conventional wisdom was his way of reminding the world that you can't take anything on faith. That which everybody believes should always be questioned.
So he wanted to challenge prejudice.
Right. And not just a cultural or religious prejudice, but prejudice as far as information. Do you believe your government when they tell you that the factory they bombed was producing chemical weapons?
Mm-hmm. A judge hearing the trial concerning your brother's death is expected to rule on Monday in Pakistan. Is your family thinking about that? Is the foundation thinking about that? Or is this entire enterprise an attempt to focus really on the positives contributed by his life so that no matter what happens in the trial, the emphasis is on something positive?
Most of our energy is going towards the positive right now. I mean, we definitely see that the criminals involved in this case need to be brought to justice and the truth needs to be found out. This verdict would only be the beginning of a long process of discovering what really happened, but most of our energy is focused on pursuing Danny's legacy.
Well, Michelle Pearl, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Michelle Pearl is vice president of the Daniel Pearl Foundation. She joined us from our bureau in San Francisco.